First, if you would, I'd like again that you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'll pick up at verse 12. The Bible reads, "For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many is one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And now are they many members, yet but one body." To support that, we want to back up to verse 11. That says, "But all these work if that one and self same Spirit divide into every man severally as he will." The base of those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. We all got a part. Just do it. We all got a part. Just do it. Something on the inside, working on the outside. And our prayer to God is that you got to write something on the inside. Because if you don't have to write something, that wrong something can work on the outside just as well. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we thank God for the Spirit of Christ this morning, for it is because of him that we have our being. And God is such a good God. You know, we thank God this morning. I thank God for those that God have put in this place to help me in ministry. And, you know, I found out a long time ago, you can't do it all by yourself. I don't care how much you think you know, how much energy you got, you need somebody. And I want to commend and thank God for the people that God has put in this place. And Sister Vivian is not here this morning, but because of her family reunion. But I thank God for the service, for the wonderful work that she's done to make sure that everything that we need today is already in place. And she did a masterful job. She actually did more than I expected her to do. When people do what God has laid upon their heart to do and they try to help to do the right thing, it's always good to let them know that you appreciate that. I know that she can't hear me, but I know we got a lot of mouth. Somebody will tell her. I give her her praises while she yet still is alive. And not only her, but there are so many others. And so it's somewhat downheartened that we have people that have come to a place in their religious life that they are not dedicated. I'm not saying not dedicated to God, but they're not dedicated to the church like they used to be. The church would be in a bad fix if all of our elders was to just die away. Because the elders are still upholding the house of God. To all of our elders, I say thank God for you. And we are blessed in this house. We are blessed in this house to have a good number of elders still amongst us. All of that wisdom, all of that experience that God has left with us to help us and to show us the way. And we are trying in our generation to sort of be a help, and we got to do a little bit better than what we're doing getting the word across to our young people. If our young people don't grab grip of who God is and why they are who they are, and they got what they got because of the power of a loving God, they truly going to be lost. We see that the church is on the way downhill, because when the elders are gone, and I remember coming to this church and starting in this church as a little boy, and here I am now getting ready to be the next old folk. The last couple of weeks, I had so many people that remind me that your hair sure is getting gray. I'm like, people just don't care what they say. But that's all right, because God is still a mighty good God. You know, I also realized there was a time in my younger days, I was like, no, I know that man that dyed his hair, because he older than I am. He don't have a black gray hair in his head. See, I'm not going to go that route, but a couple more months, I might come in here and you don't see no gray. So don't get excited. I done already gave you a warning, so yeah, it's going to be some dye in there. God didn't turn it back black because I wanted it to be black. But they make some stuff in the store. Tired of folk telling me I'm gray-headed. But I'm thankful to have had all. I'm thankful to know that God is a good God. And I'm thankful to know that time bring about some changes. Some of the changes you don't have any control over. But that does not stop God from being God. I try to the best of my ability not to worry about folk in the way that, and I'm talking about our folk of Fowles Chapel now. Because on this day, every one of our members that have heard that we were having our church anniversary, they ought to be here. Unless they are physically unable, they should be here to share in this celebration. But I ask God to let me don't worry about them. Just thank God that I'm here. And I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep on saying those things that got to be said. And some way or another, it's going to click with somebody. Because I found out that it is not because we've been so good. It's not that we are great people, but it's by the grace and mercy of a loving God. It is only by his divine providence that we, the members of the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church, are blessed to come together today in celebration of 85 years in ministry. We are yet still holding up the bloodstained banner, and we are continuing to press forward, building on a foundation that our fathers, our forefathers, and our ancestors had laid, remembering and standing on the words of Paul. We find this morning, found in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching, knowing and believing that Jesus is soon to come. We need to understand this morning that time is running out. And I thank God that we have those that still don't mind coming together. For the Bible declares, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves. So whenever God blesses us that we can get together, it's good to come together. And I'm so glad that we can come together and that there's not a death, there's not a tragedy, but just another day where we can come together and serve God in spirit and in truth. We can boldly say this morning that we have come this far by faith. Walking by faith and not by sight, praising God for who he is and for all that he has done for us over the years. And as we celebrate the anniversary of this great church, know that it is a high and holy day that we should be rejoicing and we should be glad. We got some folk in here that they've gotten old enough, their footsteps have gotten shorter, and they can't move like they used to move. But deep down on the inside, they are excited about what God has done and that God has allowed us another opportunity to yet still be counted amongst the living. There are times when you got to do what you can while you have a chance. If you are one that prays to God and dance, you better dance while you can. There's going to come a day when you're going to want to dance and you can't dance. Maybe you don't have a dance. Maybe you just like to get up on your feet or wave your hands. And sometimes anybody, no author, won't let you even wave your hand like you want to. While you can throw your hands up in the air, you better throw them up while you can. There's somebody that is going through this morning. There's somebody that don't have the privileges in life that you have. So we are just thankful to God to be part of this great body of Christ. He's allowed us to do and to thank him for this present day in which we are still trusting in his promises and experiencing the power to do our part in Christian ministry. Then we can look to the future and know that there are many things that he still has in store for us. So when we celebrate the church anniversary, it gives us a chance to look back and to reflect on our yesterday. And we got some good yesterdays. We got folk that have been a part of this ministry that they've been dead and gone for a long time, but we still are talking about them. I can remember just this morning as they were singing the song, and Gloria was singing that song out here this morning, and one of the ministers that had been here, I'm not going to call her name, but you know who she is. She began to share with us, what the lady's name? Georgia Miller. Went out of my head just that quick. I must be getting old. I guess it's time to be great. And I'll never forget Miss Georgia Miller, because Miss Georgia Miller, she loved the Lord, but she didn't take no mess. The time we'd be on the church bus, Miss Georgia would get you in check right quick. But she loved the Lord. You know, I can just reflect back on some of them, but I thank God that we still got those amongst us that can go all the way back. I was sharing when I got a chance to talk with Mother Frazier the other week, and she can go all the way back to Dr. Fowles. Isn't that a blessing? To have somebody still amongst you that were a part of the first pastor that founded the church and got the church started. That's a blessing. And it's good to know that we still got a whole lot of you that were there when Pastor White was preaching. And then we all know that a lot of us are baby boomers. We fall under Dr. Betts. He paid and laid a legacy that not only us, the members of Fowles Chapel, but the community will never forget who Betts is and who he was. We sat in Vacation Bible School the other night and we began to talk about some of the old days, and even our visitor, they couldn't help but reflect about Dr. Betts, and we were sharing with them that we were getting ready to have our 85th church anniversary. As a church this morning, we truly ought to be humbled and proud that God has blessed us for 85 years. And in 85 years, this great church has not had but four pastors. That's a testament. And that speaks highly of the people of God that has been in this place. Because a man not going to stay around too long if you don't treat him right. Man not going to stay around and do what God has told him to do, especially in their days when there was a whole lot of suffering, there was a whole lot of lack, there was a whole lot of things that they did not have, and they had to work hard to lay the foundation in which we are building on right now. And so that's another reason why I'm so proud to be that fourth pastor. Isn't it a blessing to be able to sit up under a man for 40 years, 35, 30, whatever. I didn't get all of his 40 years, but I got at least 30 of them. And to sit up under that man and to declare and to see the good that he did. And even the time that not only the people in the community, but some of you, maybe not y'all, but some of our members, talked about him, scandalized him. But yet he stood tall, kept on loving us, kept on holding up the bloodstained banner. Taught me how to know that one thing he told me, he said, one thing, don't never let it get out that you can't preach. You do what the Lord God tell you to do. And I'm so glad to have been under a mentor such as Dr. Best, because I can remember so vaguely in my mind that he told me, now, boy, when you get up, you start low, raise high, strike fire, and then sit down. Can't tell it all every time you get up. There's something that you ought to remember. There's something that ought to come a part of you because of the man or the woman of God that God has placed in your life. See, if nobody else want to be happy today, I'm happy. I'm happy to know that those that prayed for me and said, look at little John Willie and helped me along the way and lifted me up, but then had the love of their heart and is able to look at a young boy that was a boy when I came in. But all of our elders give me all due respect. Now, I got one that I have to sort of watch sometime. That old brother Snake over there. Brother Snake, let me know exactly where it's coming from. He'll tell you something and it sort of hit you in the gut, and then he'll smile and let you know that I'm just messing with you. It's good to be in the midst of some good folk. And so I'm so thankful that God blessed me. Another thing I'm going to share with you that Dr. Betts did, he was a man that felt like that if he was in control, everything was all right. But don't try him. Don't back him up against the wall. You back him up against the wall, you see another side of his whole demeanor change. But he let me know. He sat there and laid there because I never could understand. Why is it that every time you come by, he's laying in the bed? And I find myself going to somebody's funeral, going and do something. And as soon as I get home, I pull my clothes off and I lay down on the bed. He mocked me. But I didn't realize at the time that there's a whole lot of work in being an under shepherd. Because he was the kind of man that he was, and because he grew to love me in such a way, it was his desire. And he talked to me like he had the power, and I knew enough about Baptist doctrine that just because he wanted me to be the next pastor, you didn't have to approve of that. But his blessings, his prayers, his hopes, his desires all came to pass. Now, he died and didn't know that it came to pass. But somehow, some way, I believe that God in his mighty power is still is able to reveal to those that are even gone things that need to be revealed unto them. We just don't know the power of a great God. So now, to get to the message, just wanted to take you back a little bit, because I am so humbled and I'm so grateful to have been chosen, have been called, and to be your pastor. I stand behind our motto that everybody is somebody. Whether you're a member or not, you are somebody. But understand that every believer is a member of Christ's body. We all have purpose. We all have a definite ministry, and we all got something that God wants us to do. So as we rejoice, let us have a mind this morning to be about our Father's business. As members of a Baptist church, we are bound in agreement by our church covenant that stresses and teaches that it's not a one-man show. Our covenant is in plural form, and it's not I or me, but it's we. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant one with another as one body in Christ. Now, if you haven't heard that, if you haven't read it, it's right there on the wall. A covenant is an agreement. So we, as members of the Missionary Baptist Church, we agree that we have been led by the Spirit of God, and we know that we are many members, but yet one body. We find out in the Word of God this morning that when the body suffers, when one suffers, others suffer. When one member is honored, all of us have a reason to rejoice. I come this morning to say happy anniversary, to share the love and the joy of Jesus, and I know that God is still with us. And I need every one of you to know that no matter what you think, you are an important part of the body of Christ. You got to know that God is right there by your side. We got to get ourselves up and get busy and let go and let God. As I share with you this morning the teachings of Paul to the Corinthians, let us look at what the Bible says in support of our theme, which this morning states that we all got a part. Just do it. Ask yourself the question, am I doing what I can be doing for the cause of ministry? What am I doing to help in kingdom building? Am I a witness to the people of God? Am I one that would go out there and let somebody know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and God is the kind of God that will forgive me of my sins? Anybody in here glad that God has mercy? Anybody glad that God is right there by your side? Now, when we look here, we find that the Bible declares that there are spiritual gifts, and we got to use them in the power of love. Some of us may think like some of those people that Paul was preaching to thought in his day. There may be those of us that are in ministry that think in our mind that we are better than somebody else because we've been elevated to carry the word. But I want to let you know that we are no better than nobody sitting in the pew. You are witnesses of the Almighty God just like we are. There are those of you out there that's going to help somebody come inside and know that everything will work out for their good if they love God. And there's somebody that got to tell the story. The Bible says, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Those gifts and talents that we have, we cannot boast about what we got and what we can do, because I found out you can't do anything without God. Paul said there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. We all realize that we are standing as Baptist members on the covenant, but if you go up to Friendship, they may do some things a little bit different than the way we do it. go around the corner to First Baptist on Village Drive, they're going to do some things a little bit different than what we do. And so they are different administrations, but we all get our orders from the same God. Anybody hearing me in here? I told you wasn't going to shout off this. Just trying to let you know where we come from, where we are, and where we're trying to go. The Bible says, and there are diversities, meaning that there are differences of operation, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit which is given to every man to profit with. Don't you remember when Christ told the apostles that you can't do nothing until the Holy Ghost comes? Got folk talking about the Lord told me to tell you this, and they don't even know when the Spirit of God is in their lives. Some folk better stop using God as a crutch. Stop using God to pry into somebody's life, to get into somebody's mind and try to act like the Lord sent me. Try the Spirit by the Spirit. Bible says, for the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, but it all comes from the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, we are a people, and we've seen folk that say, I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to anoint you with this oil. And there are some folk that will take this oil and they anoint somebody, and they want somebody to believe that I got the power to heal you. That's a lie. This is olive oil. I can anoint you with it. I can saute some peppers and onions with it, and it'll still work. But unless the power of God come down, we got to know where faith is. We got to know that we believe in the power of a higher being. We got to know that God has sent some folk and qualified some folk to lay hands on you, and because of your belief in the power of God, not in man. Stop listening to what everybody say. Some folk talk because they like to want, they like to hear their own self talk. Healing comes from the power of God. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, the discerning of spirits. We got some folks sitting right here in the church house. They can feel when the demons sit on the pew. Something just changed in the atmosphere. Every smiling face don't love you. Everybody say that I got your back, want to stab you in the back. They don't have your back. Am I talking to anybody in here? Everybody say that I'll be with you and I'll go with you all the way. They go with you alone and they want to go with you. But I thank God that I serve a God that has made me a promise. He told me to go out there into all the parts of the world, teaching and baptizing them, not in the name of Cain, not in the name of John, but in the name of Jesus. Anybody believe that there's power in that name? Paul, he gives us another thing here. He says there's another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So glad that we are not caught up into tongues. There are some folk that think that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. But that's just an utterance. You're making a whole lot of noise. And if there's nobody there to interpret what that noise is, then it's just like bouncing up against the wall and you don't know nothing. Don't get moved because somebody get up and I'm like, what's that? That don't make them have more power. All you got to do is open up your mouth and say, I know the Lord will make a way. I have any witnesses in here this morning? Do I have any members of the Missionary Baptist Church that know that you don't have to be of the Holy Ghost filled folk over at the Holiness Church to be able to have a dance in your feet? Then those of us in the Baptist Church that got a little spirit, a little bit of power, stop looking down your nose at the quiet folk. We listened to that man yesterday. Man was a Presbyterian pastor. He was a teaching kind of preacher. But he had solid things to say. He had a whole lot to say that if we receive what the word of God is saying, we got to stop looking at denomination and operations and hear what thus said the Lord. Brother Holt here may not be able to lift his mouth as loud as I can, but that don't make what he say less effective. Some of you like to have a loud mouth preacher like myself. Everybody got what they like. You don't like the way we do it over here, then you run over there. How many of you found out that when you get over there, you got the same God, the same 66 books in the Bible. You got to realize that everywhere you go, you got to follow some orders. You got to be willing to be led by the Spirit of God and by the people that God has put in place in leadership. The Bible declared that all of these things are by the will of a mighty God. Everybody, every gift, every talent that has been given to the people of God, they all work it by the self-same Spirit. Bible declared through the word of Paul that God divides it severally as he will. Now, we got some preachers. Can't sing a note. But they can preach the covers off the Bible. You got to stay in your lane. You got to utilize the gifts that God have given you. If God didn't give you the gift to sing, don't try to sing. Get somebody like Charles. So Charles, sing a song for me so that I don't have to worry about lifting up the name of Jesus in song. Had somebody to ask me, why you don't never sing no more? I said, I don't sing because I don't have to sing. We got good choirs in our church. Now, I also told them, I remember there are times when we would sing hard as we knew how to sing. Get the spirit lifted all up. We'd be all hot and sweaty. And Dr. Betts would come, still sing something. Make me so mad. That's one reason I don't sing. You done lifted him up, well, I'm going to make you mad and try to sing something. I got to preach. But we come from two different eras. He needed to have something that was right there with his hope, with his soul and with his spirit that he could relate to that would lift him up. Now, he realized that what we did might have moved some of the people. But he had to get to that place where he needed to be in order to minister. I didn't know that when I was a little boy. But I learned it along the way. There are times when the choir can sing. Or somebody else can do something and the spirit gets so high that right then I don't need the choir to sing no more. I just need to get up and preach. We got to understand that we do have an order of service, but the spirit of God don't run by this what is printed on the paper. That's why a lot of churches don't have a good time, because they're trying to stick to the paper. Now I'm going to share these last facts with you. Ain't going to be no hooping and hollering today. Pastor Todd. I come to share with us a fact. Paul said that as the body is one and have many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So in other words, we that are members of the body of Christ, we are saying that you that are members of this missionary Baptist church, we make up the body of Christ. For by one spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. Doesn't matter. Paul was preaching to the Jews and to the Gentiles. I'm preaching to black folk, white folk, any kind of folk, and folk that are rich, folk that are poor, folk that are still trying to make ends meet. It does not make no difference whether you're bond or whether you're free, whether you've been made to drink into that one same spirit. For Paul said the body is not one member, but many. So now Paul gives an analogy here of a physical body. If the foot shall be saved because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? All of us, or most of us in here anyway, we were blessed with two hands and two feet. That makes a part of our body. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, Paul clarified this, and he said, if the whole body were just eyes, how would you be able to hear? If the whole body was just your ears, then how could you smell that good old fried chicken frying down in that grease? Anybody ever been in the bedroom with the door closed? Somebody get in there and start cooking up some bacon. And you don't see the bacon, but you smell it. And because you smell it, you know somebody cooking up something in here. Make you get up out the bed earlier than you thought you would. But now the Bible declares, God has set every member, every one of them in the body, as it have pleased him. If you got nappy hair, God gave it to you. You got curly hair, God gave it to you. If you got a little bit of hair, God gave it to you. If your hair is stringing all down your back, God gave it to you. The Bible declared that everything that God made was good. Don't worry about what they say. They didn't give you your body. They didn't give you eyes to see, ears to hear, a nose to smell, a taste bud that you can taste the differences between cantaloupe and watermelon. Yeah. Bible says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? So now, if I think that I'm all of that, and I can do everything, I can be the choir, I can be the preacher, I can usher folk in, I can make the programs, I can do this, that, and the other, where are the members? Many members, but yet one body. Now, where I fall in the membership is that I'm the head of the body. But then I got to understand that I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. I didn't give you your eyes. I didn't give you your ears. So I'm just the underhead. But there's a God that sits high that controls the body. The Bible says, and I'm soon to be finished, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So in other words, if you don't have an important office in the church, if you're not a choir member, if you're not on the usher's ministry, if you all you do is just come and sit on the pew, say your amen, get up and pay your money and go back home, you are just important as those of us that are carrying out the ministry. All of us got a part. Just do it. If you're a member that just come in and sit on the pew, come on in and sit on the pew. If you're a member that is part of the choir, don't miss choir rehearsal and try to jump up in the choir saying. You got to do what you're supposed to do. The Bible says, all those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we show more abundant honor, and a comely part have more abundant comeliness. In other words, just because you're not on the choir, I don't think no more of the choir members than I think of you. I love you just like I love them. If everybody gonna be somebody, then you gotta know that you are important to the body of Christ. Thing is, you gotta find out where you fit in at. I can't tell you where to fit in. You gotta ask God, Lord, give me some direction. Let me lean not to my own understanding. Let me allow you to direct my path, and I'll know what you want me to do. Didn't nobody put a gun in nobody's head and say, you got to get on the choir? You came to choir rehearsal and say, I want to join the choir. You don't have to know how to sing like Charles to be on the choir. When you blend your voices together to the glory of God, we are only here to please God. 25th and final verse. Paul said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So what Paul is saying is that we all not be divided. If we're going to be members of the body of Christ, we got to stand together unified. We got to know that God is right there by our side. And so I thank God that for 85 years, God has sent more than two or three in the midst of this place. And God said in his word, where two or three gather together, that he would be in the midst of them. So that's why I don't worry when the church is not full. I don't worry when we pick and choose what Sunday we're going to come to church. Every man, every woman that are part of the body of Christ, you got to work out your own soul salvation. I just come to tell you this morning that if you're a member, we're all in it together. If you're a member, we all got our part. Final note, just do it.